Welcome to Torah Simecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rivka Foxbrenner, and today we will be learning Yeshayahu Perek Samach Hei, Chapter 65. This chapter is a response to the previous two. First, the focus was on Hashem's kindness, even within exile. Afterward, the Jewish people beseeched Hashem to take them out and not ignore their suffering. Now Hashem responds, telling us how he has not ignored us at all. Nidrashti lelo sha'alu, I was accessible to those who did not ask. Nimtsesi lelo vikshuni, I was available to those who did not seek me. Amarti hineni hineni, al goy lo kora vishmi, I said, here I am, to a nation that did not call in my name. Far from allowing us to deteriorate and sin without objection, from letting us go astray like the Jewish people charged in the last chapter, Hashem tells us, I tried. I tried to appeal to you through the prophets, but you were not interested. So I made myself available to answer your requests, but you did not seek me. I called out to you, here I am, asking you to appeal to me, but you did not want to come close to me and be called by my name. Peirasti adai chol hayom el am sorer. I constantly spread out my hands to a disloyal people. Hashem only wanted us to repent, figuratively spreading out his hands to us in supplication. Halchim haderech lo tov achar machshvosehem. To those who walk the way that is not good, following their thoughts. There are two opposite understandings of what it means to follow their thoughts. Malam understands thoughts as perfect, purposeful deliberation. They are not sinning just from desire. They have consciously chosen an evil way of life. Abravanel understands thoughts as imagination rather than logical reasoning. We can all choose to follow our intellect or our fantasy. Our intellect will tell us with certainty that the only way that makes sense is to follow Hashem. But man has a great power of fantasy that he uses to justify following his desires. According to Abravanel, that is what is described in this verse as following their thoughts. The Jews have chosen to go down that path and thus ignore Hashem's pleas to do tshuva. Ha'am ha'machisim osi al panai tamid. The people who provoke my anger continually to my very face. Zovchim b'ganos u'maktirim alaveinim. Sacrificing in gardens and burning incense on tiles. The prophet continues to describe that the people would try to access impure spirits and eat non-kosher food. And, with all of their sinnings, they would look down upon the righteous and claim that they were the truly holy. This is what brought about Hashem's anger. And in the next verses, he will describe their punishment. This is in direct contradiction to the claim that the Jewish people made earlier, that it is the pain of exile itself that has caused them to sin. Hashem waited to punish us, sent us emissaries, put out his hands to receive us. And we chose to sin against him. Only then did he bring the punishments. And because of that, Hashem says that he will not stand by and allow them to continue to sin. He will repay their sins, but not in mindless anger and not arbitrarily, each one fittingly what they deserve. With regard to our objection to the length of Galus, Hashem explains, generation after generation, we do not learn from the punishments of the last. So, he has no choice but to punish those who do the same sins, yet again, and leave us in exile for so long. And yet, with all that, we should not despair. Because, as we have been told so many times, eventually the redemption will come. Why? Ko amar Hashem, so says Hashem. Ka'asher yimatze hatirosh ba'eshkol va'amar al tashchisehu kivracha bo, just as when wine exists in a cluster and someone says, do not destroy it, for there is blessing inside, kein e'eseh leman avadai levilti hishchis hakol, so will I do for my servants and not destroy everything. A cluster of grapes contains wine and peel and sediment. God promises that he will not discard the cluster because of the waste. Instead, he will focus on the wine that has potential for blessing. God will save the righteous and discard the wicked. He will not discard the righteous when he is punishing those who deserve it. V'hotzesi mi'akov zera u'meyhuda yoresh harai. I will bring forth offspring from Jacob and from Judah, an heir to my mountains. V'reshuha v'chirai v'avadai ishkenu shama. My chosen ones will inherit it and my servants will dwell there. Hashem will eventually bring back those who deserve it. Here, Hashem mentions the kingdom of Israel, the 10 tribes that were not brought back from the Second Temple. Even from them, who have been lost for so long, those that are deserving will return when the time for redemption comes. And all parts of the land, even those that were formerly barren, will be ideal dwelling places to accommodate the multitudes. But as we could have inferred from the mention of only the righteous, this will not include everyone. Va'atem uzvei Hashem hashchechim es har kodshi. But you, those who leave Hashem and forget my holy mountain, ha'orchim lagad shulchan v'hamimalim lamnim imzach, those who set a table for groups of people and fill a mixing bowl for crowds, those who live a life of frivolousness and partying and merrymaking, your end will be inglorious destruction. Why? An exact retort to the claims that they made earlier, that it was Hashem who abandoned them. Ya'an karasi v'lo anisem, because I called and you didn't answer. Dibarti v'lo shematem, I spoke and you didn't hear. V'ta'asu hara be'inai uva'asher lo chafatzi b'chartem, and you did what was evil in my eyes, and that which I did not want, that's what you chose. Far from abandoning us, Hashem emphasizes that he gave us every opportunity, and we chose everything but him. This is the core of the affront for which we are punished. Not only did Hashem not abandon us, but he gave us chance after chance, and we did not respond. Here begins a theme of missed opportunity that will continue until the end of the chapter. Lachein ko amar Hashem Elokim, hine avadai yochelu va'atem tiravu. Thus says Hashem, my servants will eat and you will hunger. Hine avadai yishtu va'atem titzma'u. My servants will drink and you will thirst. Hine avadai yismachu va'atem tevoshu. My servants will rejoice and you will be shamed. You were so concerned with physicality and fulfilling your desires that you had no time nor concentration for my service. But ironically, it will be my servants who will be satiated. According to many commentaries, this verse is not about physical sustenance, but spiritual. Those who dedicated their lives to drinking and eating now will starve, so to speak, in the future. And those who dedicated their lives to Hashem, later they will be satiated. Rav Dessler, in his essay on Rosh Hashanah, explains that a person only has a chance to develop in this world. He stays exactly the same as he is now in the next. Only the reality surrounding him changes. If a person refined himself in this world, he will be able to enjoy the spiritual richness and satisfaction of the next. But if he focused only on the material and nothing more, he will be hungry and frustrated in a world that is elevated and spiritual. Hine avadai aronu mituv lev, va'atem titzaku mikeev lev. My servants will shout out from gladness, and you will scream from pain. Umisheva ruach tiyelilu. And you will howl from brokenness of spirit. While there will be actual pain and suffering that will be felt by those who are punished, the brokenness of spirit will be their main source of anguish. This refers to their recognition that it is too late for them to change and earn salvation, their recognition of the missed opportunity. In these two verses, the juxtaposition of the reward of the righteous and the punishment of the wicked reveals that the wicked will watch and suffer the eternal frustration of knowing that they could have been in the position of those enjoying eternity, but they squander that opportunity. That will be their greatest source of pain. This reality of only joy and enjoyment for those who deserve it is described in the next verses. The land will be a land of only truth and perception of Hashem, and the pain of the past will be remembered no more. Kim sisu v'gilu adead asher ani vorei. Be glad and then rejoice forever in what I am creating. Ki hinani vorei es Yerushalayim gila v'ama masos. For I will create Jerusalem as a joy and her people as a delight. Those who merit to see the redemption will live with only happiness and joy. V'galti v'Yerushalayim v'sasti v'ami. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in her people. V'lo yishama ba'od kol v'chi v'kol za'aka. Never again will be heard the sounds of weeping and wailing. People will live out their days and will enjoy the fruits of their labor. They will live so long that they will enjoy the full use of the living of the trees that they themselves planted and the houses that they themselves built. Lo yivnu va'acher yishev. They will not build for others to dwell in. Lo yitu va'acher yochel. Nor plant for others to eat. Ki chime ha'etz yime ami. For the days of my people will be as long as the days of a tree. My chosen ones will outlive the work of their hands. They will not toil for no purpose, nor will they bear children for terror. because they are my blessed offspring, and their offspring will remain with them. V'haya terem yikra'u v'ani aneh. Before they pray, I will answer. Od heim medabrim v'ani eshma. While they are still speaking, I will respond. In the last chapter, and in many chapters before, the Jewish people complained that Hashem did not answer their prayers, and he did not listen to them, or they thought that he did not listen to them. Hashem responded at the beginning of this chapter that he begged them to pray, but they did not. He gave us opportunities, but we did not take them. Part of the promise of the redemption is the resolution of that disconnection. We will not wonder if Hashem hears us. We will pray and Hashem will answer us right away. He will even answer us before, when we have not yet prayed, but are only preparing to do so, because even just the preparation shows that we are putting in our effort. The immediacy of Hashem's response will make it so that we no longer feel confused and bewildered. We will recognize that the source of all is always readily available to us, and we will be quick to turn to him. Ze'ev v'tale yerucha echad. The wolf and the lamb will graze together. V'arye kabakar yochal tevin. And the lion will eat straw like the ox. V'nachash afar lachmo. And the snake's food will be earth, meaning he will no longer prey on other animals. Lo yareu v'lo yashchisu b'chol har kadshi amar Hashem. There will be no harm nor destruction in all my holy mountain. The Rambam and the Ramban, Maimonides and Nachmanides, have a well-known difference of opinion about the Messianic era that comes out in their interpretations of this verse. Nachmanides explains this verse literally, that the nature of the world, and as an example of animals, will change. No animals will be carnivorous anymore, and they will live together in harmony. Maimonides, Rambam, explains this verse allegorically. The world will have the same nature that it always did. Animals will behave as always. The animals in this verse are an allegory for the Jewish people and the other nations who could not live together peacefully before. Now Israel, symbolized by nonviolent animals, will live peacefully alongside nations that until this point have preyed upon her. Either way, Hashem's land, the land of Israel, will be a blissfully peaceful place in which there will be no harm nor destruction at all. Thank you for learning together. Le'ilui Nishmas, Malka Esther, Bas Tzvi Yosef.